Blog Talk Radio.
My Blog Talk listeners, how are you guys tonight? I know everybody's ready for the holidays. And in the new year coming in, I hope you guys have already got your New Year's resolution. Family and friends will be out coming, probably starting this weekend. Me, I'm going to go ahead and kind of sit back this Christmas holiday. I'm not going to do anything fancy or anything at all, probably, knowing me. I don't know, I'm just not really into and maybe it's just me. I was trying to, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties today simply because my plug to my computer just seemed to stop working. It's been working all the way up till today. I don't know what happened. So I had to borrow my son's plug in order for me to do my show tonight. Now, as you know, let's talk a little bit about some politics that's going on right now. I'm sorry, you guys. Let's talk about Obama, President. Now, let me just stop disrespecting him. Let's talk about President Obama. I don't know what's going through his head. I mean, I really, really don't understand what's going through his head. It's scary, but we have to be very, very careful. I just think we should just stay watching what's going on in life, period. With these taxes, these bills, the state tax, taking care of the Republicans or the rich, whatever you want to call it, on the backs of the poor or the middle class. I consider myself middle class. I think I am. So I'm just kind of weary right now with that. And I guess this year alone wasn't a very good year for me, even though I started out very positive, but it ended not so well. It was better now, but in the middle, oh boy, it was chunky in the middle and kind of rough for me. But I'm over it now. Things are going to start looking up, and I'm just hoping it stays looking up. Okay. As you know, last week was my party, my book launching party for Secret Journal. I'm working on White Dove now. And I kind of got away from our series on who are we listening to when it comes to our souls. Well, the last but not least, we're going to do Preflo Dollar. And he's known as the Prosperity Preacher. And he's the preacher or pastor of World Changers Church in Atlanta. Let's see here. I'm going to read a little bit about him. Let's see. I'm sorry, you guys. My thing is too big. Let's pull this out a little bit so I can see it. I hate when my screen is bigger than my resolution is bigger than what I need. Oh, duh. Okay. Okay, there we go. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. It says he was born in College Park, Georgia, January 15th, 1962. So he's got a birthday coming up. It says he built a multi-million dollar ministry on the message that it is the will of God for you to prosper in every way. He preaches that Christian conversion and disciplined steps of the Bible, meditation, tithing, and other actions can lead believers to supernatural blessings and total life prosperity promised by God. Dallas started what is now the World Changers Church International in College Park, Georgia, near Atlanta, in 1986. You notice how all these people are kind of based over almost in the same area, other than I think the Potter's House, which is T.D. Jakes, is in Texas, Dallas, Texas. So they kind of, they're in the South, okay, where there's a lot of vulnerable poor people that allow them to be taken by these people. It says, let's see. The church was started in 1986 with eight people worshiping. In a school cafeteria. Over 30,000 members now meet in an 8,500-seat world dome built for 18 mil for. Okay, I'm sorry. For $18 million in 1995 without bank financing, and in satellite churches in New York City, Battle Creek, Michigan, all that plus Dollars Change Your World TV broadcast and Arrow Records recording label reportedly have combined budgets exceeding $80 million. Let me repeat this. He has a church that costs $18 million, okay? Without bank financing, he built this church, or the dome, World Dome. And it says what? With a budget of $80 million? Come on, you guys. Come on. Come on. Come on. Does that say how? I mean, I don't remember reading that in the Bible where we're supposed to be rich like that. That's exceedingly rich, okay? Excuse me. It says his critics regard the prosperity gospel as a corruption of broader biblical messages. In 2007, U.S. Senator Charles Grassley named Dollar and other evangelists in a financial investigation citing lavish lifestyles. In Dollar's case, including Rolls Royces and home in Atlanta and New York worth millions, and questioning their use of money collected from churchgoers and viewers. Dollar has denied any wrongdoing. All right. Okay. All right, you guys. I know you just heard what I just said. $80 million? Come on. Come on, you guys. Come on. This man is, he don't have to work again. Let's see. He don't have to work again for a long, long time. Okay? I'm not saying you write a couple of books, you're popular and all, that's fine. But that right there is a little bit too much. Just a tad bit too much. I mean, I got a problem with that. I'm not going to tell no lie. I really got a problem with that. So, what I want to do is, let's see. I got somewhere I want to go. And I want you guys to hear what this young man said real quick here. I hate when my computer does this. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Can you believe today we had 73 degrees here? 73 degrees. You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. I want you guys to hear this for your own self. This is what he says, how important money is. And when he built this church, he felt about tithing and non-tithers. I'm waiting for it to come on. Tonight everything seems to be running slow. And I don't know why.
I ain't got but $2.50. What is that with all of everything I got to do? Same as that two-piece fish dinner. You take the not enough and give it to Jesus. Then he will bless it. And the next time you see it, it'll be in the over and the above. But we're so afraid. Now check out what the devil's been doing. We are so afraid to sow because we are convinced that every preacher is trying to take your money. And when any preacher does steal and misuse money, the devil makes sure he puts it all on the television, and you immediately think that all preachers are exactly like that old scum that did what he did. Not everybody is stealing money. If you'll notice, with most of the people that God has called to preach this message, he blessed them financially first and then sent them out to preach the message. So that you don't have to be afraid that somebody's trying to sell. I mean, with a $1 million budget, what you gonna steal? We got to get rid of the fear. Afraid to sow because the word might not do what it says. And that's Satan giving you the number one fear of all, the fear that what God said in his word might not come to pass. That's what he wants every Christian.
Okay.
Did you hear that? Because it sounds like reverse psychology to me. I don't know about anybody else. That sounds like, and like I said before, he said that the Bible was full of rich people. They weren't all rich in money. They were not rich in money. They were rich in other ways. You guys, again, and I forewarn you, you guys better be careful. You better be careful what you're listening to and who you letting allow to take your soul. Because, come on. You can't. Come on. Come on, you guys. Cleflo Dollar is good. He's good at being a good manipulator. A good manipulator. And if we don't pay attention to it, we're going to get caught up and we're going to find ourselves in a real big pickle. Now, I'm going to also let you guys hear this other guy. It's J34 Contenders. And he had an interview with Cleflo Dollar. And he's going to talk to you guys about the question that he asked Cleflo Dollar. Pertaining to his church.
And there was one view that really got my attention as I was doing an hour and a half interview on the radio talk show from Los Angeles, and the subject was over tithing, and I was representing the side that was for tithing, and then there was a side that was against tithing. And I began to hear their arguments, and one of the things he mentioned really caused me to go and pick my Bible up and to begin to study it again. He made this comment or asked this question, that if tithing was so important, why don't we find Jesus giving us a commandment to tithe in the Gospels, the first five books of the New Testament?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm the he that Mr. Dollar was referring to. When he talked about on this particular broadcast that aired in March of 2007, entitled The Tithe Exchange, I'm the person that he was referring to, and he said there was he who had asked the question. He refers to me as he, and that's okay. I don't need for him to mention my name. But he said, I, or he, asked a question that I just couldn't answer. Of course, the question that he was referring to on his broadcast was one that he thought he could answer very easily. Namely, if tithing was so important, why wasn't it commanded in the New Testament? It wasn't commanded by Jesus. It wasn't commanded by any of the other writers, or even the writer of the Hebrew letter mentions it, but not in the form of command. But what I was surprised that he didn't mention was the question that I really posed to him that he really couldn't answer. And I posed to him a question regarding a very inflammatory statement that he made on a 1998 recording called the Tithing Question. Mr. Dollar made an extremely inflammatory statement regarding the non-tithers. During our debate, I pressed him on that. I did it nicely, and I wasn't being inflammatory myself, or I wasn't trying to push it. But I said to him, after reading to him a transcript from that very broadcaster tape, the tithing question, I said, how do you answer for that, brother? And I want you to listen to my questions, and I want you to listen to his response. And you'll find out something very interesting, that when pressed for a true answer, well, Mr. Dollar punted. So let me let you hear this in just a moment.
Can we call each other by the first name? Would you mind?
Okay.
Sure. It's much easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm Charlton, you're Cravlo. Okay.
Yeah.
Much easier. You know, I'm really happy to hear what you said about you not wanting to, you know, get people involved in manipulation. But I'd like to, and I'd like for you to have the opportunity of kind of explaining. When I was listening to this tape, I had it transcribed just so I can make sure I'm quoting you properly. You make a statement. I'd like to take about 3 minutes to read from this transcription of your tape on the tithing question. You state, if it wasn't for the blood, there would be a whole lot of us being stoned and being in hell right now over the tithe. But for the blood, we'd be doomed. I mean, you say, I thought about it. When we first built the dome, I wanted to put some of those little moving bars and give everybody a little card. They'd stick a little card in the computer. And if they were tithing, beautiful music would go off. And they would say, welcome, welcome, welcome to the World Dome. But if they were not tithers, the bar would lock up. The red and blue lights would start going, and sirens would go off, and a voice would go throughout the entire dome saying, crook, crook, crook. And then what you said, what would happen, security would go and apprehend them. These are the non-tithers. We pass out Uzis by the ushers. We point our Uzis right at all the non-tithing members because we want God to come to church. And at the count of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead, and we'd take them out of the side door, have a big hole, bury them, and then go ahead and have church and have the anointing. And then you said, because if it weren't for the blood of Jesus, I would certainly try it. Now, this to me, and I don't know your heart, Russell, to me that sounds pretty inflammatory, isn't it? And it sounds like it. To be, I certainly don't want to go to church and even have the pastor say that. How do you address that, Renna?
Oh, I don't really address it. It's just being facetious.
Okay.
You have to be there.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that you were being facetious.
Yeah, you'd have to be there.
Yeah, so you didn't really mean that you would do that.
Oh, no, of course not.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. I feel a lot better about you then. Because I'm sure you agree with me that any pastor that would say I would try it if I could, that's pretty serious. So then I will just let, because you stated it on radio that you didn't really mean it, you were being facetious, then I'll just take your word for it and, you know, I'll trust that that's what you meant. Thank you. Good to hear that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I really did want to give Mr. Dollar the benefit of the doubt. But you know what? After listening again to this 1998 called the tithing question, my better judgment, my reason told me I can't give him the benefit of the doubt of using the analogy of taking Christians out into a parking lot and passing out Uzis and mowing them down or shooting them. Why? Because they weren't tithing. That's funny. If that doesn't sound like manipulation to you, then nothing will sound like manipulation. What was interesting is that earlier on in that debate, Mr. Dollar was saying that he agreed with me, that he was against manipulation. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. Whenever you give the kind of analogy that says that if you don't tithe, you're worthy of death, well, that's manipulation. You either tithe or you're worthy of death. But let's go back. I don't want to just let you take my word for it. I want you to listen yourself to Mr. Dollar in his own words. Not me reading it this time, but him saying it live and in living color. And I want you to listen carefully to his ending statement, and you find out if he was really being facetious or was he being serious. Let's listen to that right now.
Now, you know, we're under the blood of Jesus, so we can't shoot and stone people like we used to. All we have to do is repent. God will forgive us and take us where we need to be. But I tell you, man, if it wasn't for the blood, there'd be a whole lot of us in stone and men in hell right now that over the tithe. But for the blood of Jesus, we'd be doomed. I mean, I thought about when we first built the dome, I wanted to put some of those little moving bars and give everybody a little card. They stick it in a little computer slot. And if they were tithing, beautiful music would go off. And, you know, welcome, welcome, welcome to the world dome. But if they were non-tithing, the bar would lock up, the red and blue lights would start going, the siren would go off, and a voice would go throughout the entire dome, crook, 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 crook. Security would go and apprehend them, and once we got them all together, we'd line them up in the front and pass our Uzis by the ushers. We'd point our Uzis right at all those non-tithing members because we want God to come to church, and at the count of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead. And then we take them out the side door there, have a big hole, bury them, and go ahead and have church and have the anointing. Aren't you glad we're under the blood of Jesus? Because if we were not under the blood of Jesus, I would certainly try it. Folks, this is a serious thing.
So you heard it for yourself. Folks, this is a serious thing. Now, when you're being facetious, how do you end a hyperbolic analogy? This is a serious thing, or do you say something like, oh, you know I was just joking. You know I was just kidding. See, that's the answer that Mr. Dollar gave when pressed. But it's very inflammatory, and I'm going to argue even blasphemous statement that you would take believers in Christ, those for whom Christ died, if you could, because of their not tithing, you would. At the count of three Jesuses, what are you trying to say? That Jesus condones non-tithers being shot and killed? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that Mr. Dollar was not really saying he would do it, but he said if he could.
I'm sorry about that. But did you hear what he said? That they would actually do that? Isn't that something? For a pastor to stand in front. Now, if that was in 1995, that was 3 years prior or after he had built the church, $18 million church. Why would you say that? And then if you listen to the audience, they're laughing like it was funny. That man was serious about, but see, this is what we're not understanding. These people are not ordinary people who do this. These people look normal on the outside, but guaranteed you, inside and when they're behind closed doors, these people don't live normally like we do. They don't. They live above what we consider an everyday life because of the lies and the deception and the manipulation. So there's nothing normal about the way that they are. And he is a perfect example of the ideal that it's not normal to talk that way. I mean, why would you take Christians, just like Mr. Charleston said, why would you take Christians outside and blow their heads off with Uzis because they didn't tithe? Why would you do that? People better understand. I think I was talking to somebody today about tithing, and they said that my blessings were connected to my tithing, and I disagreed with them. I did. I totally disagree with them because you know why? Just living and being covered and living under the blood, I am blessed. If I never put a penny in anybody's church, I am blessed. I'm blessed every time I wake up in the morning and I can get up and look around and I can move my limbs. I am blessed. So as far as finances, though, I don't have to tithe to be. God's going to bless me regardless. And this is what I be trying to tell people. Stop getting so wrapped up in that because money has nothing to do with God. Because if you're, because you're tithing, everything is supposed to work perfectly. You got people who are tithing right now to this day. They tithe faithfully and they go through pure hell. Because you know why? Because they're supposed to go through. How can you know that you have faith in God if you don't go through? So whether you tithe, I tithe, anybody tithe, you're still going to be blessed in the way that you pray and ask God to bless you. You're going to be blessed. So for Creflo Dollar to put it out like you have to give money, you have to give money, you guys realize this. I read to you already. This man drives around in a Rolls Royce. This man has a private jet, just like Juanita Bynum, just like Joel Osteen, just like all the rest of them. They have private jets to get them. Okay, you tell me this. Do you have a private jet to take you back to and four different states and stuff? Do you have a car? Half of you guys don't even have cars. You're riding a bus, not because you want to, because you can't afford to get a car. A lot of y'all riding the bus back and forth. Oh, yeah, it's good for the environment, but yet and still, you can't even afford a car. But you're tithing? Why are you going to church every Sunday
giving your money, but you come back empty-handed. So if money, if tithing connects with God blessing you, then you should be dead if you don't tithe. Because he's not blessing you to wake you up so that you can go to church on Sunday, whether you give or not give. This is the point I'm trying to make you guys understand. You don't have to tithe to be blessed. You don't. I don't know where that concept came from. You're blessed every time you take your breath in the morning. When you wake up and sit up in your bed, you're blessed with or without money. You think about the homeless people that don't have nothing. Are they not being blessed? Because they can get up and move around, whether they, you know, even though they don't have a roof over their head, you can see more of them are happier in their life than we are. They're not going through what we're going through, and they don't have money, so God's not blessing them. God blessed them automatically when he woke them up in the morning, regardless of what they're going through in their life. So connecting, tithing with blessings, my whole concept of religion has really, really changed a lot. And I'm not getting off the subject because I think about these preachers that have taught and are still teaching us the twisted way the Bible is, I mean, to twist the Bible around to so that their pockets can be filled, okay? And you leave out that church on Sunday trying to figure out how you're going to pay your rent, how you going to pay your mortgage. You got people who lost their jobs, okay, and they're still living and they're still eating and they're blessed. And I guarantee you, lots of times they don't have the money to tithe. So why do we have, and why are we so weak-minded? This is what I don't understand about us. And you know what? This is the reason why other countries laugh at us, because we are weak-minded, gullible people. You know, we want to act like we're so strong and we're so this and we that, but we really are not, because you got people like this. This man is worth $80 million. $80 million, not $80,000, but he's worth $80 million. Religion is a big industry. I told you that before. It is a big industry. It's just like the music industry. It's just like the movie industry. It's no different. Religion sells. Just like they say sex sells, religion sells. You just got to have a good story. And these people are not, I don't call them pastors. I'm sorry. I don't call them pastors. I call them manipulators. I call them great public speakers. That's what I call them. If you have a good story and you put a little bit of Jesus here and God there, anybody will follow it. Because we're so desperate to cling and follow somebody and to believe in something. We'll give up our soul to believe in something. That's why it's so important for you to learn the history behind the Bible. That's why it's so important to know where your spirit is and who you believe in. It's so important. Quit putting your faith in man. Quit believing that a man can rescue you out of everything. Okay, with a good word, a song, and put God in the middle of the sentence. You guys, stop it. Believe for yourself. These people are not for you. These people are not for you. They're lying in their pockets. Their kids go to private schools. Where do your kids go? Your kids get that substandard education that they throw out in the public schools. Your kid don't go to no private school. Your kid probably don't get a good nutritious breakfast in the morning. They got made. You got to clean up. You got to work 2 and 3 jobs and give your tithes. Now, don't forget every Sunday, go to church, praise the Lord, and then give your tithes. But you got to come home and try to figure out how you're going to live for the rest of the week. So all you people who don't think what I'm saying matters, you believe whatever you want to, it's your soul. Because I know I'm taking care of my soul. I'm just forewarning you guys. These people are not for you. I tried to, I was attempting to try to contact Mr. Armstrong, who wrote the book Snakes in the Pulpit and Homos in Preachers, I think it's called, in the pulpit. I was trying to get a hold to him, but I didn't attempt it in time. And so, because he could tell you a lot more about these preachers that I'm discussing, and maybe I'll get an opportunity to interview him and get him back on the show, and we can continue this at a later time. Because I just want you guys to understand this. I guess I get so angry and I get so heated with these pastors. I just don't believe in pastors. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't believe in following somebody. I'm not good with following people. I'm not good with following, period. I'm sorry. I'm just not. And that has nothing to do with me not being submissive. It has nothing to do. I just don't believe in you can. It's just amazing how, I'm going to say it like it is. A bullshitter can bullshit you. But a bullshitter knows what another bullshitter is saying. And I'm putting it to you like it is. It takes a bullshitter to know a bullshitter, and I'm being honest with you. So if you, I'm not considering anybody a bullshitter. I'm saying if you listen to a lot of stuff that these people are saying, and if you really, really, really read your Bible, you can tell that all this stuff that they're saying is not even in the Bible. But you know what? Man, I don't even open up my Bible. I don't need it. The pastor told me, oh, yeah, the pastor did a good job today. You guys are not even pick up your Bible and reading it. I've never read it. Just like Mr. Charleston said. Where, if it was so meaningful for us to tithe, why isn't it part of the Ten Commandments? And that's a very good, valid question. Why? And he couldn't even answer it. Mr. Dollar couldn't answer it. So that just goes to show you guys, that's just one instance. That just goes to show you guys, so what is the big deal about tithing? Let's get back to tithing. What is the big deal about giving your money to the church? How are you giving your money to the Lord? I'm trying to figure that out. If God and if Jesus Christ and God is a spiritual being, where is your money going? I mean, it's not like there's an envelope that says Jesus on it. Or do you have an envelope that says Jesus on it? And it goes, cause that's what they're telling you, that if you're tithing to God. No, you're not. I've even heard that you're tithing to the betterment of the kingdom. Okay, what kingdom? Kingdom down here on earth or the kingdom in heaven? Because I'm confused, you know. And I'm just hoping you guys are hearing what I'm hearing. Because it's just amazing. Let's see here. I'm confused. I'm just, maybe I need to go back and look at some other things. Maybe. I don't know. But it just amazes me how things are where we're to the point. Excuse me. We're to the point where these people are so good at blowing smoke up our butts, and that's basically what it is. That is basically what it is, and it just amazes me how we can actually allow that to happen. It really, really amazes me. Okay. I had to get my other book called Crooks and Homos in the pulpit. This is the other book by Reuben Armstrong. And the pastors that he talks about is Dr. Cleflo Dollar. He talked about Ted Haggard, and we know the story behind Ted Haggard. He talks about Eddie Long, so you know the story behind him. Bishop T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen. Okay. Now, okay. You think about how these people have all this money, and it's your money.
it's your money because it comes from your pockets, because you guys give in to their broadcast on TV, you give to their churches fiscally. I mean, I'm sorry. They're not getting my money. I'm not giving away my money. Nope. Nope. I'm not giving away my money to nobody. Not like that. Hold up. And I just like he said in here about whenever you pick up the Bible, pray for insight, pray for wisdom, pray for understanding. Don't expect somebody else to teach you something when you're not even willing to teach your own self, to learn for yourself. I listen to people on a daily basis, and it just amazes me. And I say this all the time because I'm like, I sit there and I'm like, did you hear what you just said? I'm saying to myself, did you hear what you just said? You know, and I'm surrounded. Where I'm at, I'm surrounded with a lot of churches, and I'm surrounded where everybody goes to church. Everybody goes to church, okay? I don't know too many people who don't go to church. But they are not as happy, quote-unquote, as they should be. And these people tithe every Sunday, but guess what? They have trials and tribulations all the time. They go through some stuff in their lives. So when you say money and blessings, okay, money equals blessings, blessings equal money, I don't know. I don't believe that. And we've got to start thinking for ourselves, you guys. We really and truly from my heart, we've got to start thinking for ourselves. We really, really do. We've got to start learning and getting educated on. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to, you know, listen to my show and get any type of anything from me. But I'm just trying to get you guys to understand that it's scary. Okay. It's really, really scary. I found something else here I want you guys to listen to. I'm thinking it's from him, Creflo Dollar. Let's see if I can pull it up here. And a lot of this, and I'm not blaming it on everybody, you can hear me if you don't, a lot of this is Illuminati. Nobody don't want to hear that, but I hate to put that word out there, but a lot of this is Illuminati. It really is.
Jesus didn't show up. Look, he grew with his perfection. You know, Jesus, once he said about it, he went on the journey, and he was tired. You better hope God don't get tired. Isaiah 50 says, 50 someone says, we have a God who fainteth not. Neither is weary. But Jesus, he came to God and he got tired. He says he sat down by the well because he was tired. Boy, we're so. And somebody said, well, Jesus came to God. I mean, the Bible says God never sleeps nor slumbers. And yet in the book of Mark, we see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. Now, please listen to me. This ain't no heresy. I'm not some false prophet. I'm just reading this thing out of figure of Bible. I'm just telling you all these fantasy preachers have been preaching all of this stuff for all these years, and we bought the packet. And the question mark was there, and we had our faith to never go past that question mark, and we tolerated and put up with things that we have authority over.
Okay, so are we, I mean, come on, are we, man, I
We have to understand, you guys, you can't listen to, you can't, I'll tell you this is what I'm going to say. I challenge anybody out there to pick up the word and read it for yourself. And I challenge anybody out there to get the same interpretation that these pastors are getting at this word. I want you guys to get, you know why I know that we're easier to get manipulated or be manipulated is because I was manipulated when I used to listen to T.D. Jakes all the time. One of his books he wrote, and I think it is Daddy's Girl, Little Girl, Daddy's Little Girl, Daddy's Girl, or something like that. I read the book, and there's a chapter in there about when you've been molested or raped and how you need to forget all of that and move on with your life. When I read that, that bothered me because I don't think he has a right to give me that kind of advice when you don't know my story. And the ideal that we can, especially if you have a person who's never truly understood what happened to them, how it happened, why it happened, you can't tell them to forget it and move on with their lives. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. And my, and that's when I heard that and when I read that, that is, I thought to myself, I said, how dare him? How dare him? Now, would he tell his daughter, if they were raped or molested, would he tell his daughters to forget about it? Because he has daughters, or a daughter. Oh, forget about it. No. When I read that, and then I stopped watching the shows on TV, the televangelist shows on television, you know, when they're broadcast and stuff. I stopped watching them because the more and more I was, like, looking at it, I was like, wait a minute, something's not right here. And it is truly up to us to know. It's truly up to us to know that these people are not joking. They are for real. They mean what they're saying. They are, I mean, they really, really mean what they're saying. And they've got y'all so bamboozled, hoodwinked, and believing that this stuff is for real. And as long as you give your money, because he is a prosperity preacher, and you got to understand, I think, and I'm not going to quote it because I don't know it for sure. I mean, I don't know it word for word, but I think he said rich people weren't getting into heaven. I think. Okay. Let you hear this one too, because that kind of, this one's odd too by Creflo Dollar. This is amazing. You gonna hear a little music and stuff? They're showing us
something. That's what I need. Don't be asking me why. I wanna be rich.
Now we know he has the big church, the big car, the big house, and, you know, big following and all of that. But that's, you know, the money. We know how he is about the money and the prosperity gospel, how that's the gospel, you know, or whatever, preaching or gospel, whatever you want to call it, is, you know, something from hell anyway. But it also, with that prosperity gospel, comes the mindset that will make somebody believe this that he is about to say in this video. And so I just want you to kind of listen to what he says and just really think, like, you know, what would make him think that? He sat somewhere, studied his Bible, and he came up with this right here.
I think I can share something with you that I'd like you to think about in case some of you have teamed up and decided, well,
we both go to World Changes and we don't have sex. There is something very interesting about two Christians having sex that's different from the world. And when I begin to see this, it grossed me out. You see, the Bible says, if you've done it unto the least of them, my brethren, then you've done it unto me. So what he says is, you know, your wife is not just your wife, she's a sister in the Lord. You got to rightly discern that she's a member of the body. That your husband is not just your husband, he's your brother in the Lord. You got to rightly discern who he is in the body. And so you got to understand that they're members of the body of Christ. And so when two Christians who are both members of the body of Christ decide to engage into sexual activity, then what you're really doing is you're having sex with Jesus. For if you've done it unto the least of them, my brethren, then you've done it unto me. That's gross. You're having sex with Jesus. So the next time you decide, gentlemen, to go to bed with your sister in the Lord, just see her as Jesus. Might as well go hear that music. Hear that music. You're having sex with Jesus. Grow a mona. You're having sex with Jesus. Now, please remember, none of these things are being said to create condemnation. This is information so that we can see the love of God trying to say, come out.
Okay. I am confused. I am totally confused. So my husband, he's a brother in Christ, and I'm his wife, and I'm a sister in Christ. How can you say it grosses you out to make love to your husband or wife? Come on, you guys. I'm telling you, listen to this. And you guys, you know, people say, oh, you're just taking different parts of his sermon and you're not listening to the whole thing. No, you don't have to listen to the whole thing. He said what he said. He said it several times. How can you be grossed out? And how can you say that you're having sex with Jesus? You guys better listen to this stuff. This is deep. Huh? Come on. Oh, man. And somebody said this. This is what I said. It's amazing how people can jump all over someone and they have not heard the whole sermon and not even sure if this person is credible. So be careful how you put your mouth on the man of God. But he's not a man of God. That's the point. He's not a man of God. This man is not a man of God. Y'all better wake up. You guys truly better wake up because this stuff is for real. Because I'm not going to let them take me there. I'm not letting nobody lead me to hell. Okay? I'm not following nobody that got in their mindset that they're going to heaven and their whole job is to make sure that you don't go to hell, but yet and still they're not teaching from the Bible. According to Armstrong, and he says this, let's see. Trying to figure out where I saw that at. Let's see. I'm sorry, you guys. I lost what I wanted to say. Oh, he was saying here, he said, T.D. Jakes, Eddie Long, Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar are teaching their flocks that they can buy their way to heaven. What their congregation needs to know is that Jesus does not want their money, quote, unquote. Jesus does not want their money, and he abhors the men of God who are fleecing the church. You cannot buy your way into heaven no matter how much money you give. If Jesus rode on a donkey, why are these men driving around in Bentleys or Rolls Royce? This is nothing but the devil's work. He is trying to seduce Christians through material wealth and promoting this agenda through these mega church leaders. Okay? It says also, if you forget to bring cash to the church for your tithes and offering, you do not worry because your credit cards and checks are just as good. Have you ever noticed that T.D. Jakes, Eddie Long, Joel Osteen, and Creflo Dollar are always talking about debt cancellation? How can someone cancel their debt when they're using credit cards to give to the church? Something to think about. Something to think about. But we are raring to run behind these people. And if we don't watch what we say and do, and you better listen to somebody. You're going to have to listen to somebody one day. You are definitely going to have to listen to somebody one day. And lots of y'all are not going to like what you hear. And I'm sorry. And you have to understand, too, this is an interpretation of what people, you know, what they comprehended out of the things that these people are doing. But it shows. It shows. You don't have to sit there. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, to notice that the things that these people are saying and doing is not right. It's not. I'm down to 2 minutes already. I should have put this more than an hour show. Well, anyway, I'm going to end this Creflo Dollar segment right now, and we will be returning to this and talking about more about this. Now, next week, next Thursday, which is the day before Christmas Eve, I want to talk about Christmas. And you guys, let me tell you this. I'm not trying to bring down, you know, the doom and gloom of Christmas, but you guys got to understand the interpretation of what Christmas is, too. We're taking all this stuff, and we lived with it for years. And we still have our kids. I drove past a truck today. He had two bicycles on the back, huge, big old boxes sitting in the back, already wrapped up. I mean, I'm just sorry. I'm not trying to be the Grinch this whole Christmas, but you guys better understand what y'all going after. So I will be talking about what Christmas is, what it truly means next week. So I'm hoping you guys are going to be able to hear me and listen. If you don't listen to me tonight, go back and listen. This stuff is great. If you want to talk to me, you can talk to me on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Chocolate Lady 64. You can also get talk to me on sensible64@yahoo.com, and I'm willing to listen. If you got any questions for me, please feel free to let me know what your questions is. Thank you very much for your time tonight. You guys have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Stay out of the cold and stay warm. This is Chocolate Lady 64 sounding off, and I'm saying another good night. Bye-bye.